Welcome back to Kettlebells and Cocktails. I'm your host, John, back tonight with my bestie, Nikki, who wasn't with me last night. How are you, Nikki?
I'm good. And we can't forget that I'm here on time, unlike the last time we went and met at 7, where I forgot and was very late because I was like in the middle of bedtime routine.
Not only are you on time, everyone's on time. This might be a first. This might be a first. We have Emily's with us. Dr. Rocket's with us. We got the whole gang. It's a party.
Awesome.
This is great. I love it. Welcome, how are you guys doing? Guys. Emily, you doing good?
I'm good.
I haven't seen you live and in person since the games, which, you know, to be fair, was the first time I met you. But it's good. It's good to see you. Like,
this past games, really?
Yeah. I saw you.
No, I saw you in 2021 games, but you were like creepy man hiding out of the back of a van kind of. So I didn't go any closer.
I forgot about the creepy van that Nikki and I were working out of.
And I was like,
I didn't barely fit in that van. I was so pregnant. It was like really cool. Like the premise was great, right? Like we were working with Strong Coffee and they had this van and they like gave us a really great setup in the back where there were like bench seats and this kind of table. And we set up all of our podcasting equipment. And it was like really awesome in theory. And then I remember the first time I like slid into the seat where like the table, I had to like lean and like stretch and like my belly was like up on the table basically. And I was like, this is not sustainable.
Yeah, it was small. It looked small.
Yeah.
It was weird.
I don't know if it was small, but I was large.
Is that why we had to do the ultrasound review, Nikki?
That's why. I know. I want to tell that story because I would just like to say that I broke that thing in. But no, to your point, I really am. I'm glad you're here, Dr. Rocket, because Emily, I think like the whole world is so cool, the CrossFit world at least, is so curious to know about how you're doing and how you're feeling and how your recovery is going. And I feel like to properly tell that story, we got to go back to what actually happened at the games, because you are still kind of like in recovery from the latest injury that we all know about. So
yeah, I mean, it's only been 7 weeks, so
yeah, that's not a long time.
do you guys see these comments here, or is that just me?
No, we can all see them.
Look, here's what you gotta get used to with this show, Emily, all right? Like, our listeners are a rare breed. We love them. We love them dearly. And poor Pat has ruined it for all future Canadians by having bad audio on the show. It's Pat's fault. Like, he came on, he had AOL dial-up. He had to put the disc into his computer. It was bad. It was like really bad. And he was a great guest because we love Pat dearly. But man, it was a rough show.
Oh yeah, he's great.
It was a rough show.
I'll have to give him some guff about that.
Yeah, well, trust me, it'll be in the comments for the rest of the night for sure. Anyway, let's talk about your injury. How about that?
Yeah, anyway.
Fun times.
Can we just take it all the way back? Because for the listeners who don't know, who must have been living under a rock, you obviously are recovering from this injury that took you out of competition at the games this year. And so I would love to know, Emily, kind of step by step, like what, how did it start? What was going on? And then we are really fortunate to have Dr. Rocket here too, who heads up the CrossFit Games medical team. And I would love to also just hear from your boots on the ground perspective, Dr. Rocket, like, you know, what happened and how you reacted basically. So Emily, start with you. Like that's my dog. What was going on? What happened?
Yeah. So I'll let Dr. Rocket get into like the nitty gritty technical stuff, but I was dealing maybe like a week before the games, maybe I felt some like little strain in my bicep and I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I'm training all the time, like we all are before the games. I thought, okay, I've just done a bit much, pulled it a little, kind of ignored it, whatever. It would light up every once in a while. I just kind of took it easy, like was smart with my training leading up to the games, and had it taped. You know, like if you see photos from the first event, it was kind of taped because my physio thought, oh, maybe like that'll help increase blood flow. And yeah, just make it feel a bit better. Usually that's like kind of your go-to kinesio tape something when it's bugging you a bit, but just thought it was like a strain, wasn't too worried. And then right after the Tota Bar in that event, it really, really started to hurt. I noticed it on the bike And I was kind of like, you know, you ride a bike like this, and I was shaking out my hand like every little bit. And like Kyle, my coach later was like, why were you always like shaking out your hand? Oh, because I was like, it was hurting. Like it was so painful. And I couldn't, like at the time I wasn't like, didn't even think what it could have been. But yeah, you could see from the photos, there was no color in my hand. And all I was thinking the first bike ride was like, how am I going to get through all these chest to bar? Like, I know I can keep biking, like I can get through that kind of pain, but like hanging and like using your grip is like another story. And then I got to the chest to bar, and I think it took me like 13 sets or something embarrassing to finish 75 chest to bar. And I just couldn't hang on. Like I was peeling off sideways because one arm was hanging on and the other wasn't. So basically this arm was just like over the, like there for support, but yeah, it was hard. And then finished the event, and the pain was pretty bad. And then I went straight to the medical team. It's funny, they're all just like standing lined up. There's like four or five of them. And you have to walk through them as an athlete when you're done an event. I don't know if they do that on purpose, but they're just easy access. So if you have anything, you like bright red shirt, you can see them, you can go to them, they're right there. And I walked past them because I was like, I'm fine. And then kind of like took a drink of my water bottle, whatever. And I was like, nah, like I'm not okay. I got to go back. And then I went straight to Dr. Rocket because I remember him from the year before. He looked at my knee when I tweaked and I kind of went up to him and I was like, hey, like my hand really hurts. Can you do something about this? Thinking he's just going to like snap it back, whatever. It's going to feel better in a few minutes.
Snap it back.
Not the case.
He's like, know, wait a minute. You thought what? I'm like, yeah. Like he was just going to like magic voodoo it back to whatever it was. Like it was no big deal, really, is what you were thinking. You were like, something's out of place. Something's pulled. Something's whatever. My hand really hurts. Yeah. Dr. Rocket will fix it, right?
Work your magic. Like give it a little massage, whatever it needs. I don't know.
Yes.
That's not what happened. Dr. Rocket, what happened?
Began. And so it began. Yeah. I can just say, you know, I got to know Emily from before, from just previous things. And I know she's a tough person. And as a sports med doc, you kind of, you know, get to know personalities and what people are like. And, you know, I know that she's not going to come for, you know, a little bump or bruise. Yeah, she just sort of, it was like, you know, almost like my daughter after she hurt her wrist. She's like, here, can you do something with this? Like,
can you fix it? Yeah.
And I like, what? I'm like, you know, the first thing that struck me, I was like, you know, it just looked bright white. Like, wow, this is just odd looking. And I said, like, did something happen? Like that, like, was there trauma? Did you injure yourself? Did you fall? Like, do you have pain? And she's like, no, it's okay. And she's, you know, moving it. And so, you know, then I'm like, all right, first thing, it's white. Let me feel for her pulse. And I'm like, you know, it was just like a knee jerk reaction. Like it's, you know, giving me something to do, like feel for the pulse while I'm thinking of different possibilities about what this could be. And, you know, I didn't feel a pulse. And I was like, okay, you know, maybe, and I had talked about this, that maybe there's a thing called Raynaud's disease, which Canadians surely know about, and Boston and New Englanders really know about a lot, is when you go outside, your fingers can turn white, and a lot of people wear gloves to prevent it. And I was like, we're in the middle of Madison, it's 85 degrees, and she was biking, you know, maybe her fingers got cold with biking. But I was like, you know, do you have Raynaud's? And she said no right off the bat. And then I started feeling for other pulses, and I couldn't, you know, I could feel there's another pulse up here, the axillary. So I was like, okay, we got an axillary. That's good. But there was no trauma.
She
and
is alive. That's good. Yeah, she has somewhat of a pulse.
There's some blood coming down. And then I started getting into just a bunch of different questions, asking about all different possibilities. You know, elbow motion was fine. Shoulder motion's fine. Nothing, you know, no, didn't fall down, didn't have anything the week before, didn't feel anything terrible. And then started asking questions about, you know, she was getting some needling and asked about the needling, and, you know, then asked about history of blood clots, family history of blood clots, stuff like that. And everything was coming up negative. you know, except for the dry needling, which is possibly the situation.
Okay, so you are like trying to remain calm, and you put on your medical hat, and you're like, I'm going to find out a whole bunch of different things happening. But at the very same time, you're like, holy shit, this girl has no pulse in her hand. What is happening?
And, you know, and then I'm starting to get some other, the nurses are coming around, and everybody's just sort of gathering around, like waiting for like the, what is it? And I was like, well, let's see here. Like, and I checked her strength and her sensation, everything was working. And, you know, I said, okay, in case this is some weird vasospasm, let's go warm up her hand under warm water. And the funny part of the story, funny part of the story is that there's not a lot of warm water at the Alliance Center. When we take showers in the morning, we try to, so I knew where the warm shower was. After our workouts, the medical team gets together, and I knew there was one place that had warm water. His other showers weren't warm. So we went there, we warmed it up, and her hand pinked up, and it looked better. But she still had no pulse. So then I was like, all right, this is getting a little weird. You know, no pulse is coming. What would I do if I was at home, with a patient in the room? And I'd said, I'd get an ultrasound. And this was the first year that we had officially had an ultrasound at the games.
Officially, because last year it was unofficially there for the first time as just a gadget.
It did the job.
It definitely did.
So, I mean, I don't want to hog the story, but, you know, Emily, you know, at that point was like, come on, it's fine. I'm good. Can I go? I can just go to the warm-up area. And, you know, as a sports medicine doc, like at this place, you never will see somebody again. Like, you can't keep track of people. And I was like, if I let her go, just thinking that this is a spasm and I don't see her again for 30 minutes or 35 minutes, because who knows where she is. Like, so again, we call it the diagnostic imperative. The diagnostic imperative is I have to make sure nothing bad is happening as a rule. And then you go from there. Like, once I can assume nothing bad's happening, then I can take it, you know, to other stages. But I was like, I really would love to feel your pulse right now. And we don't have it. We need an ultrasound. And we got an ultrasound. And the ultrasound.
But like me at that point, like the pain was kind of gone.
Yeah. And she was feeling fine. That was the thing. She was like, I feel good. I feel good to go. Let me go back.
And then I was like regretting going to the medical.
Right.
Of course you are. Yeah.
Like any football player who goes to the trainer, they don't want to go to the trainer because the trainer's going to keep them out or keep them, you know. So
what did the ultrasound show?
So the ultrasound showed that there was a clot in the artery and in other multiple arteries. And, you know, I'm just, you know, shocked and amazed. You know, if you look at the list of 10 things that could cause this, she had none of them. And so we're like, how did this happen? And I think looking back, it was probably the needling that did it, and that maybe caused a little clot, and that sent clot down into her arm. So Mike Ray is on the team too. He's the medical director of the games. And Mike called ahead to the emergency room. He's an emergency room physician. He called ahead, said, we got somebody we're going to be sending. At this point, Emily's like, you sure? And we're like, yeah, we got the ultrasound and the clinical exam.
Hey, girl, we see it. We sure. Are you kidding me?
And so we said, yeah.
But you guys still kind of gave me the choice. I don't know if
we didn't give you a choice. What are you kidding me? You thought it was a choice.
They just said it really nicely. That was nice.
Well, I heard like there was still an option, maybe.
It's like, we'll see. When my mother used to say, we'll see. Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
But it was.
And then I was like, well, I'm not quitting. And
you were involuntary. Like, right. We did it. We took you up. It was a involuntary withdrawal from the CrossFit Games.
Blame the medical team is what they're saying.
I'll take 100%. I got big shoulders. I can take
it. Sean, I'm curious. Wild. So as a doctor, you have this, you know, do no harm rule, and you know, you're a CrossFitter, so you're a fan of the sport. You right. don't feel the pulse. She's wanting to go back out onto the competition floor. I'm sure as a CrossFitter, you want her back out on the CrossFitting, you know, on the competition floor, but you're also a doctor. Like, how is the stress level for you? Like trying to get that diagnosis quickly and to give her good treatment.
Yeah, no, that's so part of it is that the reason we're there is because we love the sport and we love the athletes and we love taking care of these guys and we love trying to keep them in the game. And that's really what we're there to do, is to make sure they're okay to keep going. And there are times where people have presented where they're not okay to keep going. And then we unfortunately have to sort of take a step back and say, you know, I'm not a fan anymore. This is, you know, I got to put my MD hat on, and you got to step back and say, this is a no-go. You know, we've had ACL tears and stuff like that where we've had to, you know, stop people from going. So
I think, well, like Dr. Rocket, like you do CrossFit too, and it kind of makes him like more credible because, you know, like he's an excellent surgeon, but he also like gets the sport too. It's not just like they pulled a doctor who's has like no idea about CrossFit, and it's easy for them to be like, no, like just quit. But like he gets it a lot more than.
I know what it took for this year to get there. And on the first event of the games, to pull her the first event of the games, it's tough. It's very, very difficult.
And is it harder to diagnose someone like Emily, who's a CrossFitter, has a high threshold to pain? Like CrossFitters are notorious for being able to put up with more than particularly elite athletes, more than normal humans like me. Is it harder for you to diagnose, or you just have your checklist you're going through and kind of treating it the same?
No, I mean, they're so in tune with their body. They know when something's wrong, you know, they know that something's wrong. It's the toughest part is, yeah, taking them out and making sure that they're not. And I've had multitudes of games athletes that I've taken out and said, you know, we'll see you next year. I go, I don't want you to miss next year. Also, like if you keep going, something bad could happen. So there's a lot of times where we're, you know, I'm being cautious, and, you know, we kind of live a little on the edge. We want them to go. We want them to keep going. But if something is going to make something worse, we can't let them keep going. But we'll let somebody have an injury. You know, if they have an injury, we'll say, and it's mild, and we'll say, okay, let's have you warm up for the next event, and I'll go watch and see how they warm up at the next event, and and by that time it kind of has settled in for them that they've figured out that they're not going to be able to lift, you know, 260 off the ground, you know, if something's going
but
on.
Didn't I ask, like, I don't know if you remember,
you asked everything. You were
supposed to be that shuttle run jerk event. Yeah. I mean, till the rain delay. So I asked them, I was like, I don't really need my grip or my arm. I can do shuttle runs and do some jerks. Like, it's fine. Can I just go do that one first?
Did you say you don't need your arm for jerks?
You don't need your grip. Arm.
It'll be fine.
But you can support it and do a jerk. You'd be fine. If I just did 75 chest to bar with no grip, I was feeling pretty invincible at that point.
Yeah, there's that. There's the fact that you finished that workout, lest we forget that happened.
Yeah, Emily's like, one arm's fine. I can do pull-ups, jerks. I can do it all. There's one
arm. And that workout, it was a different score for the shuttle run. So I was like, even I could just go ham on the run and then hopefully win that part.
We have had people who have had injury, upper body or lower body, who have been able to work out completely normally in a workout, and then on the second workout they'll take it, they'll bow out after
I
that.
Swear elite athletes are a different breed of human than the rest of us. Like, you guys, you're like, your mindset is just different. I would have come off the bike and be like, Dr. Rocket, could you take me out, would you mind taking me out, my hand hurts, my hand hurts, please. Tell my coach I have to stop.
You know, I don't want to glaze over the really unique and difficult diagnosis, Dr. Rocket, that you made, that I think not everyone would have thought to go straight to the ultrasound, to go straight to checking for a clot. Not everyone would have looked at Emily and as fast as you did say, she's got no pulse in this hand. Let's warm it up. No, that's not working. Okay. Ultrasound. Okay. What if it's a clot? Like that, that's just, I just want to say it out loud. Like that is a, it was a unique and not expected issue to have. So for you to think that quickly and get her to the ER as quickly as you did, I think is commendable. It's worth saying out loud for sure.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
He's got spidey senses.
Totally. Totally. And I would just like to say you're welcome, because last year when the ultrasound was brand new at the games and nobody knew what to do or how to use it, we tested it on my belly.
Yes, we did.
On your baby. There you go.
On my baby. 100%. Like, I was like low-key. I was pretending to be cool about it because they were like, we got this ultrasound, but we have like never done it before. And it like hooked up to someone's phone. And like, we should like look and test it out. And I was like, yeah, yeah, whatever. Playing it cool. Meanwhile, I had just right before I traveled to games, I had gotten this kind of concerning note from my OB that the baby was like trending really small. And they wanted to like non-stress test me every single day and like give me all these ultrasounds and whatever. And I was like, yeah, but I'm traveling, so I have to go, bye. And so when they were like, we have an ultrasound here, I was like, oh yeah, yeah, that's cool. Do you want to like, I don't know, look at my belly or whatever? Meanwhile, in my head, I'm like, oh my God, someone please check me. Someone please check me while I'm here. Worked out just fine. It was totally
worked out well. We see the product.
Exactly.
I gotta be honest. I was hoping that one of you guys was going to deliver Nikki's baby at the games, because it would have been great for this show.
Oh man.
That they were so cool. Scared.
They did not want that. Like every single one of them was like, please don't go in the labor.
Trying to keep you calm. Have you had water? Do you need hydration?
Yeah, we were going to set up the Noble Birthing Center with like boiling water and torn sheets. We were ready.
Well, to be fair, it's probably cheaper to have them at the hospital than to do it around Nobles. So saved a lot of money that way. No doubt.
I would have required baby Nobles, which I have never seen before. So they should make them. I would spend all my money on them. I would.
For real.
Anyway, so then you got to the hospital, Emily, and I've heard you tell this story before, but I would love to hear it again, like straight from you, about what happened when you got there and when they took you in and what the surgeon noticed about you and sort of like the process that followed once you finally got to the hospital.
It was very quick, actually, because the medical team had called ahead. And I guess like anything vascular is you're kind of fighting with time a little bit. So it's got to be quick. Within, I want to say like 2 to 3 hours, I was in surgery. Like they took me in, I had a CT scan. I remember I signed my life away. And it was like, go, like, it was quick. If you don't want to wait at a hospital, just get a blood clot.
Oh my God.
And you're right in.
Well, the other part about this whole story, a lot of people have been confusing it, that this was not a vein clot. Like we see vein clots all the time. This was an arterial clot. So arterial clots completely different, but we see vein clots all the time. So
can you give a brief discussion, description of like the difference, like, I mean, and what it means?
So like a vein clot is if, you know, you're on a flight and you're sitting for 3 hours and you just get blood pooling in your leg, and you get calf pain, that's a blood clot in your leg. It's called a deep venous thrombosis or a DVT. After surgery, people can get DVTs or clots like that. People on birth control can get them. Some people with genetic tendencies can get these clots. But again, we see these all the time. We see, you know, probably one a week of those. Those are completely different than an arterial clot of the arm. Arterial clot is where you, and again, mostly it happens with people who have vascular disease, people who are smokers or older who don't have good arteries, like big gaping arteries, like Emily has great arteries. Other people sometimes can have issues with their heart, where they throw a clot from their heart to their leg. And then if it goes and cuts off blood to the arm or to the foot, you could lose, blood flow. And that's how you could lose a leg or an arm.
And is this the artery clot, is this far more dangerous than the other, or are they equally dangerous?
Well, so the vein clot can go into the vein up the system, venous system, to your heart, and then that stops in the lung, and that's called a pulmonary embolus, and that can be fatal. But that's a venous clot. The venous clot goes from the veins back up to the heart and then to the lung. An arterial clot can come from the heart or from the other and then go down distally. So the artery goes away from the heart, the vein comes into the heart. So completely
different. So we're saying that if this hadn't been treated fast enough, Emily could have lost her hand effectively.
You know, I don't want to be melodramatic, but, you know, yeah, if you have a clot, if you have a clot of your artery, of your brachial artery, then that's an issue. Yeah, that's.
He's like, yes, they basically,
put,
yes.
They put a bracelet on me and they put a bracelet on me that said limb alert. And it was like a bright pink bracelet.
Like, oh, God.
Limb alert in case it falls off.
Limb alert.
Put it back on the table. Keep it attached to her. And then the other one, the other part of me coming on was I just want to make sure that people didn't think this is associated with exercise or CrossFit or exercising, you know, that this is.
Yeah. Explain that.
You say that again.
I said, yeah. Can you just explain a little bit about that? Cause I think that sometimes people do like misdiagnose health issues with how we work out so intensely or all the different aspects of CrossFit. And of course we on the show and most of the people listening to the show who are fans of the sport know that that's not true, but I would love to hear it from you, Dr. Rocket, just about how unrelated those aspects are.
It wasn't the fact that she was lifting weights. And it wasn't the fact that she was, doing chest to bars or toe to bars. They did tests at the hospital looking to see if it was, you know, the artery was getting occluded with her arm over her head, which is a thing called thoracic outlet. And she did not have that. So, you know, again, not related to that. I was going to make another point, but yeah, so I just didn't want people to be frightened that it was exercise related.
So you think it was from the needling? Is that what the suspicion is?
I think in retrospect, that there was probably one of the needles probably entered the artery and caused a clot in that.
Man, I did needling once. I knew I didn't like that shit. Never again.
Dry needling?
Oh, I did not like it at all.
I've done it a couple times, like if I've had like really, really tense muscles or like I don't know, like pinched stuff or whatever like that. I understand that it kind of, in general, talking about needles and then talking about these clots making my butt tingle. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I have people that get dry needling all the time, and it works well. They like it. So.
Nope. I switched from dry needling to dry martinis. It's great. It's a good swap. Seriously.
Okay, so freak thing, totally get that. And so Emily, I mean, here you are. It's been a few weeks out. Like, what is going on? How is the injury healing? What's been happening with that?
So obviously straight out of surgery, it was pretty sore for a couple weeks there. Basically, I was just trying to, like, Dr. Rocket was like very adamant that keep trying to move it. Like, don't like baby it, kind of like it's in a sling kind of, because I guess you can get frozen shoulder, which is really bad, and like elbow issues, which, yeah, if you're not moving it. So he had me like just basically trying to straighten it was a task in itself. So I'd like put my arm against a wall and try to straighten it. I'd do that stretch a lot and like making sure it was like could bend really well. That was like 2 weeks of that. couldn't get my heart rate up very high because at least like the surgeon told me it's still trying to heal because they went basically like mining in there to get the clots out. So you don't want blood pumping in there really hard.
What do they call Roto-Rooter?
So yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Roto-Rooter.
Wow.
I can't.
So yeah, I mean, and then basic like surgery, like it's quite a trauma to your body. So I took it easy for a full week, went to Nashville, partied a little bit. That probably wasn't the best, but I mean, my arm was fine. So, and then I started to move it, like do some crossover and that kind of thing, probably like 3 weeks after, and then do like really light dumbbell bicep curls and like 5 pound plate, if that. And then, well, we're at like 7 weeks now, I think. So after around like 5 or 6 weeks, I really noticed, like I can hang on a bar now and I can like grip things and I can grab a gallon of milk out of the fridge. And like, it really just like got really better really fast, which I'm lucky. Yeah, it was weird.
Well, hats off to Dr. Rocket.
Looks disapproving.
He's like, cool, you were doing curls after 2 weeks? That's great.
He's like, oh, you immediately went out and started drinking in bars in Nashville? He's just taking notes. So they're writing this down.
Only two nights.
That's fine.
But no, I do want to shout out to the medical team because it truly is a team. And actually, if you remember, Emily, you went to one of the nurses first and he brought you over to me. So he sort of recognized, like, he could have said, no
the
problem.
The big guy, right?
Yeah, the big dude.
Yeah.
Tom. And the so, you know, it is a team. It's a well-oiled machine, but it's, you know, we have doctors, nurses, paramedics, and also just, you know, letting people know that, you know, people at the games are well cared for. And, you know, if you're at the games, you know, please, you know, if you have any issues, please come to see us. Because we're not trying to take you out of the games. We're trying to keep you in. And there are unfortunately certain times where we have to take you out. So.
And yeah. Dr. Rocket, before you leave us, we had Dave Rimple on the show a few weeks ago. It was the athlete and the master.
I heard that one.
Had a stroke at the games, and you guys straight up saved his life. So I the medical team of the CrossFit Games is really spectacular.
Yeah, like those guys were right
second,
on.
I was second in that.
We appreciate it. I was not involved in that case, but right away they were on top of that. And but that's why we're there. That's why we're doing it.
I think as an athlete, I was going to say, like, yeah, we're so thankful. Like when you get pulled, you're like, ugh, and you kind of hate on the person who pulled you, but they're looking out for your life and for your future. And, you know, like, I'm so thankful that they were all there, and especially Dr. Rocket. And like, you know, I thought to myself, well, even now, like a month later, like, yeah, it still hurts that I wasn't able to compete and show what I trained all year for, but like, I'm healthy and I have my arm. So like,
yeah.
It is so invaluable having really talented medical professionals in any sport, but I think specifically in our sport, people who know and understand, who are in the gym every single day, who you don't need to explain, oh, I was snatching and I pulled this, or like, mm-hmm. oh, I couldn't hold onto the bar for toast to bar, or whatever it may be, because they already know, because they're literally in this community. Like, that doesn't happen. Every other sport has like an ambulance and some ER folks or some what's the word I'm looking for? Someone help me out. Paramedics, like, on scene in case something bad happens, so they can be whisked away to the hospital. And that's great. But like, our sport has people within the community who live this every single day. Mm-hmm. That makes every single difference in the world. It's incredible. So, Dr. Rocket, thank you. And thank your team for being just amazing, wonderful, and just all really nice too. Also just really nice.
Very approachable.
Our pleasure. Happy to do it. It's great to see you doing well, Emily, and I'm going to scoot. So see you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for joining.
All right. Bye-bye. How do I get out of here?
I'll just boot you. See you later. There you go. I just kicked him out. Hey, this would be a good time. Emily, you're a UCAN sponsored athlete, which is our sponsor for this show.
Oh, cool.
Can we blame your blood clot on UCAN or no? Probably not. Probably a bad idea.
Can we blame your recovery on UCAN though?
Maybe.
We sure can.
give us a little snippet of why you love UCAN.
So I'm actually their first CrossFit athlete.
Really?
Celebrity.
I was the first one. I started using UCAN way before they sponsored me, like very early on in CrossFit, probably like 2015. And I just basically, like, when I first came to CrossFit, I took whatever C4, whatever everyone else was, you know, those other crappy pre-workouts. And I just, like, you get a high and then you crash so hard.
Yeah.
And It was so bad. And like, and I was like, I can't do this. And then my husband actually, I don't know how he found UCAM, but he was like, try this. And ever since then, I just started using it. And then, yeah, probably used it for about 3 years at least before they started sponsoring me. And it's great. They're just like moving into the CrossFit space because they're more like endurance athlete based. But yeah.
You know, Scott Panchak turned me onto it. And I was just like you. I would take C4, or if it didn't make my skin tingle, I didn't want it. That was my rule. Like, I want to feel like my heart's going to come out of my chest. That was what I wanted. And he's like, no, you got to try this. Stuff's really good. It's great for longer workouts. I'm like, all right. And so he gives me one, and then I go do like a 30 or 40 minute workout, and I never hit the wall, which is very unusual for me because I'm really good at like going too hard too fast, you know? And all of a sudden I'm like, well, I'm not stronger and faster, but I'm not dying. Like, I have energy through the whole thing, you know? And I was like, yeah, all right, I'm all in. And then they started sponsoring us. Then I was really all in. But the stuff's great. Like, really, really
great. You get that steady energy. Like, nobody, you don't want to crash. That's like, that's terrible. If you're in a 5-round workout and you're in round 3 and you hit the wall, it's like, you want to die.
Oh, it's
And it's really cool. Didn't they, like, when they first came out with it, it was for someone with diabetes. So, you, they, like, that person couldn't, like, have a high and then a low because blood sugar had to be. So it was originally designed for that, which is, like, it's actually medically good.
Well, I've started using it for work. I mean, that's my thing, is like, I work long hours in banking, and I get up in the morning, and if I know I'm not going to get to lunch at like 1 or 2 o'clock, I'll have one before I go. And it just, it, you know, I'm still hungry, but it keeps me with that steady energy all the way until I can get to lunch. And it's just
That's protein, where I'm at. Protein and superstarch one, if you're hungry. Yeah. That's the one I have all the time.
My thing is like, the bars and stuff, because I like, I think bars are the only food group that I have lived on since I became a mom a year ago, because I like have no time. I have no time. Yeah. I have 10 different things to do in front of me all the time. And I'm rushing from work to the gym to picking up the baby to get the dogs and then the this and then the that. And it's like, I have no time for a meal. And if I have something like really sugary, like a sugary bar or like a quick carb bar, then I'm like not hungry for 5 minutes and then I feel like shit. And I still have all the things I have to do. So I like it for like that on the go. I'm hungry in between meals, but it's not going to make me feel like crud. And it's going to give me the energy I need to do everything on my to-do list.
That's the thing. It doesn't have the added sugars and crap. It's like natural.
That should be their slogan. No added sugars and crap. We're going to make that their slogan now. I'm gonna put that in the show. I'm gonna put that in the show notes. It's gonna be great.
You tell them.
Yes. All right. So everybody, go to ucan.co, not.com. Ucan.co. Use our code KBEL20, and you'll save 20%. So good stuff. All right. That aside, I want to hear about your Nashville trip, because I was living vicariously through you guys in a city I lived in for years. I love Nashville so much.
Man. That was our first time. We had a blast. So I don't know if you know, but we always go to Vegas like after games, after like Rogue last year we did. It's like, I don't know. We just keep going to Vegas.
Like just and like to rage?
Just like to chill out after a big comp. Like
You don't really chill out in Vegas.
You don't. You come back more tired, but after a competition, you don't really care. So it's like, whatever. And then the joke was we had to keep going back to Vegas because, you know, the sign that you have your name on that you take from the games, I left that in airport security. So Kyle was like, well, we got to go back to Vegas and get it. And I was like, well, we could ship it, but no, we had to go back. So, but whatever. So obviously when all this arm thing happened, we canceled our Vegas trip and we're like, we'll just go home. And then by Monday I was feeling fine and we met up with Craig and Jazz of Hustle Made, and they were like, oh, we're going to go to Nashville. Do you want to come? And we were like, sure, let's go.
sounds like country Vegas. We're in.
Yeah. Like, why? I love country music. We've never been to Nashville. Like, so we left 3 hours later. We just went.
I'm always amused at what a big country music fan Craig is. He loves it.
Yeah. When I first found out, I was like, what? Like, it doesn't go.
Oh, he loves it. He's crazy about it. He loves Luke Combs for some reason. Yeah, loves Luke Combs. Yeah. Like, he's obsessed, like totally obsessed. Yeah. I don't get it. I mean, I grew up in the Deep South. So you got to understand, like, country music, I don't listen to country music that much. But I was raised around it. Like, everybody listened to it. It's like everyone had a pickup truck. That's the South, you know?
Yeah.
Craig's from the UK.
I mean, he's a city boy.
Yeah. Like, I don't get it. I like, what do you know about marrying your cousin and driving pickup trucks and plowing the fields? He doesn't know anything about that stuff. What the hell? Just bizarre.
Totally. But yeah, we had a blast. And then, we met up. Shane and Tia were like randomly there. It's so small, that downtown, like, it's, you know, it's like a street.
Yeah, it's tiny.
And you can just bar hop. It's super cool. Like, you don't pay covers anywhere. So you just, and there's like bands on each level of the, there's like three different bands at each bar. Like, it's fun. We had a blast.
When I went to college there, that Second Avenue where all those bars are now was, it was just like dive bars. It wasn't like, you know, now it's like big celebrity bars and bands everywhere. Mm-hmm. In those days, it was like you would go into clubs and it was like you had to be careful. Like, it wasn't safe, but you'd go anyway because it was fun, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think, somebody's going to correct me on this, but I think the people who used to own Opryland like bought a lot of that area and built these kind of celebrity clubs. And so now it's like the cool place to go. Like, you know, great music, like super fun. I was watching those videos. I had in my notes here. I got to know who's better at line dancing, Craig or Kyle?
Kyle, 100%.
Kyle was pretty good.
Kyle was doing Irish dancing. Kyle. They didn't have like street line dancing when we were there, which I was upset. But just like in the bar, there was,
All right.
It was good.
How about Jazz or Tia? Who's better?
Oof. Well, they both rode the bull. So we went to some bar with like the mechanical bull. They were both great. Jazz is like a horse girl. She grew up. So she did awesome. I think she was, she used to ride horses all the time. So she was great.
I'm not surprised.
I didn't do it because I was scared of falling on my arm. But Jazz and Tia just went for it. They were great.
Well, Emily, that is a surprising amount of restraint you showed.
I know.
You're probably on like blood thinners afterwards. She's like, just bring me another drink. I'll be fine. What's the worst that could happen? It'll be fine.
It'll just bleed out. It's fine.
it'll be fine. No, that's super fun. How long were you guys in Nashville? Just a couple of days?
Yeah, we went Monday night and came back Thursday night. So
I'm jealous.
It was good. We'll definitely go back for sure. And the music, like if you're a music fan, I know it's like, they don't play all country either. It's like, they play normal.
Normal. They play normal
stuff too. It's not like country twang the whole night. Like it's cool.
Nashville's come a long way in the last, the last 20 years. When I was going to school there, it was mostly country music, but there were bars where you could go hear showcases and there would be rock bands that would come through and play. I think I may have told the story on the show before, but my roommate at the time, still a good friend of mine, he's a drummer and he lives in Nashville. And he's played for everyone at this point, but we were living together in Nashville and he comes home and he brings this tape. This is how long ago it was a cassette tape, Nikki. That's how old I am. Cassette tape. All right. So he brings
this. I remember cassettes. I had them too. I'm old too.
Thank you, Emily. Thank you for reinforcing. I'm the old guy on the show. So, cassette tapes they were like these little square things, rectangles. You put them in your car and then you play music. And, he brings it home and he plays this album for me. And he's like, hey, I'm auditioning for this woman today. What do you think? And I listen to it. I'm like, God, that's terrible. That's horrible, dude. Like, no, don't go audition for that. He's like, no, I'm going to audition. Well, he did. And he didn't get the gig. It was Sheryl Crow's debut album, which won like 7 or 8 Grammys or whatever it won. And that's like, that's typical for Nashville though. Like these artists come through and it's where they get their bands from.
Yeah.
That's where all the best musicians are. And, you know, it just goes to show you what a shitty taste in music I have that I thought Sheryl Crow was terrible at the time. And she turned out to be.
This bitch is awful. Nobody's going to listen to this.
He sucks.
That album's horrible. And then it wins like 8 Grammys, you know, so explains why I went into banking and not music. So there you go.
Yeah, that's why the live music is so good, because they're all just like people trying to get big. But they're playing covers a lot, because like nobody wants to hear original song. Like you want to hear the songs you all know, right? So yeah. I don't know. I can't imagine going to college there. Like, Can you imagine, Nikki? Like, you know, college, how much you go out, like, every weekend.
Oh, girl. I can't imagine. And weeknights. Remember weeknights in college? Like, I remember, like, in college, I never went to bed before, like, the early hours of the morning. It was wild. And now, like, 10:30 rolls around, and I'm like, hoo-wee, I am like, ready.
I'm kind of already looking at the clock going, it's getting late.
I think the older you get, the more you can appreciate day drinking. Because what is better? I'm serious. What is better than like a solid cocktail at brunch? And then you got to like keep that going for like a minute or two. And then you have like a healthy buzz that is all sort of settled by the time you're ready to go to bed in your own ass bed at like 9 p.m. There's nothing but it's a great day. You've had a great day.
Emily, do you drink?
You can drink all day in Nashville.
This is true.
Like, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Do you drink? I mean, you're elite. So
I drink seldomly. Not during the competition season, obviously. But like after the games, yeah, I'll drink.
Okay.
I'll feel like crap.
I'm just always interested in who does and who doesn't. We had Spencer Pancheck on here last night. I was making fun of him because every time I meet an elite athlete that's not Australian and not Canadian, those two know how to drink. Everybody else, all the Americans, are drinking like these foo-foo, like margarita drinks. Like, they just don't know how to drink. They have no idea, you know?
You know who's a lush is Mr. Vellner. But you're right, Canadian.
I think it's a healthy balance. It's a healthy balance between like elite athleticism and life and having a drink or two or 10.
Yeah. I mean, you can't do it when you're cause like if you go out Saturday and you're drinking, you know what? Monday, you're still going to feel it all week. Your training is going to be crap. Like, you just can't do that when you're training. And there's no point. Like, why am I putting this much effort into CrossFit if I'm going to sabotage myself in other ways? But, after competition, I think it's good to let loose a little.
First of all, I can answer the question, why would I sabotage myself and do CrossFit a lot? But that's an entirely different discussion. How do you balance?
You're not training for the games, though.
Yeah, well, thanks for rubbing it in. hey, I'm going to the games. I'm just not competing at the games.
I am physically going. I'm physically going to be there. Bringing my body there, yeah. Sure.
Somebody has to keep the Tito's tin alive. All right, it might as well be me. One thing I love about Pat, though, is he seems to have a really good balance between like kind of a normal, healthy family life and this kind of craziness that you guys do as athletes. And I think you do too, at least from, you know, my observation of seeing what your life is like outside of work, like you're going to concerts, you're going to Nashville, like you're doing fun stuff. How do you maintain that balance and still keep up with this kind of crazy training you have to do to be an elite athlete?
Yeah. I mean, I think, like I said, there's a time and a place, and it's kind of, you know, for the month of August, usually after the games, I kind of do what I want. I'm still active. I'm still working out, but I think mentally you need a break too. And it's healthy to just do other things. And all year you're kind of saying like, no, I can't go out because, you know, I need to get my at least 8 hours and, you know, it's going to be too late. And you're kind of making sacrifices all year. And I think, you need to like, it's healthy to set apart a time and be like, okay, I'm going to say yes to my friends when they invite me out and do something. And yeah, Pat's really good at that. He doesn't take anything too seriously. He's better, like, throughout the year, he's better than that. I'm a little more, like, obsessive throughout the year, but he's just, like, super chill. And then he goes and wins, so
whatever. How often does he go out drinking and make you dog set that dog for him?
Oh, is that what he was doing? I love his dog. Anytime. All he wants to come stay with me.
I'm always amused by like the 6 degrees of separation within CrossFit. Like, I don't even remember what the story was, but it was like your story and his dog. And I'm like, wait, I know that dog, and that dog doesn't belong to her. Like, what the hell? What is going on here? So crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ollie's the
Ollie. Usually like I'll hang out with his dog when I'm at his place or whatever, and more than him. Cause I'm like, I care about the dog more, but
dogs are better than
this was the first time. Sorry?
I said, because dogs are better than people. I fully support that.
This was the first time that Ollie actually stayed over here for like a few nights, I think 3 or 4. But yeah, so it was kind of a trial this time, but he did really well. So.
Are you guys on the same island?
I'm on Vancouver. He's on Vancouver Island. So it's like an hour and a half boat ferry ride.
Man. Nikki, I don't know if I could do the ferry ride.
I can't either. We like ferry over to Block Island off the coast of Rhode Island every summer. And just like I step foot on that boat and I'm instantly like, someone give me a bag. I can't.
Really?
That's real bad. Real bad. Everything makes me sick though. Like every kind of motion you can imagine. Cars, trains, planes, boats. Yeah.
All of the above. So fun. This is off topic of Vancouver Island and the dogs, but where did this love of the Backstreet Boys come in?
Where are you getting these questions?
I'm born in 1989.
Yeah. I feel old now.
Old girl when Backstreet Boys were like such a big thing. I remember at like grade 4 or 5. So like they were, yeah. Every girl that age was obsessed.
See,
and then yes. We went to the concert and I was like, why are all these like 50-year-old women here? Like, I don't get it. And then my friend was like, well, they were like our age. They were like 30 when Backstreet Boys were huge. So,
yep.
And I was like, oh, okay. Yep. That makes sense.
That's about
there was like one guy for every, like, maybe I saw 2 men and it was like a sold out concert. And I think I saw 2 guys.
Only 2 at the Backstreet Boys. That's it.
Yeah, there was like none.
This is the tour that they were just on, right? That's the one you went to?
Yeah.
Okay. I had tickets for that show because I was also born in 1988. So same.
Okay.
And I couldn't go because we ended up closing on our house and moving that day. And I was really bummed because we had bought tickets like 6 months in advance. It was my idea. I had like 7 friends going all at once. Because I had found it and I was like, you guys, the fucking Backstreet Boys are back together. They're old and crusty and kind of fat and I want to go. and then I couldn't end up going and I was really sad. Was it so much fun?
Oh, it was so good. It was such a good concert. Like they did so well. I think they're like Nick Carter must be the youngest. He's like 43 or something now. And the oldest was like 50. He's over 50. Like they're
Don't say it like that. Don't say it like that, well, Emily.
You have to say it like that, John, because it's like they were like the teen heartthrobs. So to picture them in their like mid-50s is like, no.
She said it like he's going to fall down and break his hip.
They looked good. No, they looked good, and their dance moves were, I was impressed. Like, they did really well. They were good.
She's like, they dance so good, but oh my God, they're over 50. I'm surprised they could stay up there for that long without dying.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like. That's what I heard. That's everything I heard.
I mean, they're not CrossFitters, so you got to wonder with people who are over 50 and not CrossFitters. Their Nikki, athleticism.
Favorite Backstreet Boys song, Nikki. What is it? What's your favorite song?
Probably Shape of My Heart. It's a solid
look
one.
At you. Okay, I didn't see it coming. Mm-hmm. What about you, Emily? Favorite song?
Kyle, do you want to shoot that? Kyle's breaking into a dance now.
Yeah, get him in the background. I want him dancing as you sing it. It'd be even better.
You want a what?
I want him in the background dancing while you sing it.
They were asking who's a better dancer, you or Craig, and I said you were.
How's that? Hello, folks.
Hi.
He's sweaty. She was working out.
I've been doing that.
He's all sweaty.
That thing called cardio.
You're even in.
I love it.
Yeah,
favorite song, Emily? What is it? What's your favorite song?
I don't know. I mean, their encore was Larger Than Life, and it was cool because they wore Vancouver Canucks hockey jerseys to our hockey team. So nice. Everyone thought that was cool. And then I was like, wait, did they do this to everyone? And then they went to Edmonton, and then one of my friends went to that. And I was like, did they wear Vancouver Oilers hockey team? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, it's not that special.
Edmonton.
Nice.
But you know, Canadians
I don't know
if
we did that here. If it makes you feel better, I don't know if anyone wore any sort of jerseys here. My girlfriends told me that they wore these like leather jacket type like their costumes. They were obviously like stage outfits or whatever. They were like kind of these like bigger leather jackets, but it was like really hot, and so they were all just like really, really sweaty the whole time.
Sounds about right.
I love it. I love this so much. Kyle, how do you feel about the Backstreet Boys?
I'm probably about as sweaty as they were on stage right now, but I had to pick Emily up from it. So yeah,
he picked me and my friend up.
And yeah,
he was so happy he was working that night, that he wasn't going to get roped into it. Yeah. He's like, "Take one of your girlfriends." And I was like, "Okay,
fair."
See, I just don't know how to feel about this. You know, I graduated high school in 1988, so I'm old as fuck. But you know, you're picking these songs because they were coming out in the early 90s. You had your choice between Backstreet Boys and Nirvana. That was your choice, and you chose poorly.
In fairness, I will say Nirvana.
You don't know who Nirvana. Hang on a second. She just said she doesn't know who Nirvana is.
Oh my god!
What?
This is killing me as well. Okay, I grounds for divorce right there.
Oh my goodness!
I have no idea.
Kurt Cobain. Oh wow!
So
okay,
Nirvana.
Good effort.
It was. Listen. Hold on. Let me explain.
Spice Girls. It was.
Oh, right, it was Backstreet Boys, Spice Girls. I was an NSYNC gal myself, but Nirvana was a little bit like coming down from the crest of like being epic. Like my brother is 9 years older than me, and Nirvana was like his. I listened to a lot of it because of him. It wasn't really like we were getting old enough to like listen to the radio, buy our own CDs, like do that kind of like MTV was huge for our age group. It was truly like the era of the boy band. Nirvana was like, we're a tiny bit young for that. If you didn't have that influence already.
That's fine.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Don't you just love like people like Aaron Carey and Matty O'Brien are like, what's a CD?
Trust me, I've had this discussion with my own daughters who are that age. I tried to explain an 8-track to them one time, and it was,
oh no,
it's like you would have thought I was explaining Chinese. What? I'm like, yeah, we had 8-tracks in the car, and they're like, no idea.
I know. At least we're on the cusp. Like Emily and I, like we kind of lived through the era of like not having any tech to having all the tech. Like we were really the turning point, right?
We had Walkmans,
like we had tapes, we had CD players, and they skipped when you ran and like all that stuff. And then we also like downloaded one song at a time on Napster, and it took like 2 hours per song and like all that stuff. And then, you know, and here we are like with iTunes and Spotify's and things like that. So I do feel like we're like the transitional era, but everyone younger than us has been like having this like instant gratification, like fingertip, everything at their fingertips, which is why most of them suck. Throwing that out there. But
that's very
Until you deal with it, I can assure you it's not that much fun when you have to deal with it.
If you had to put together your workout playlist, what's going to be on it?
Mine?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh man, you're gonna laugh. It's the most random. It's country and Backstreet Boys.
Disney.
And there's a bit of Disney.
Greatest show.
And then it'll be like a random Eminem.
Nice.
Like
you get
solid. I can relate. That sounds exactly like mine too. No country, but the rest of it. Yeah.
You get Let It Go and from Queen. Frozen and then Eminem. That's perfect.
Yeah. And some Queen. Yeah.
You got some music on.
Some culture.
There's some music on there.
Kyle, what about you? When you're out there sweating it up, what are you listening to?
I'm too busy trying to survive.
Yeah.
I have a thing that plays in my head. It says, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. That's all that plays. Gets me through it.
I love it so much. It's the best. What about you, Nikki? What's your workout jams?
You know what? Recently, I've subscribed to Fit Radio. Do you guys ever use that app?
No. Oh, yes. No. Actually, I have heard this. It's great.
Yeah, Emily, you would really like it because I feel like we have very similar tastes in music. So I was listening. I would like build these like curated lists on Spotify that was like some pop music, some like fun like 2000s throwbacks, and also love me some Disney jams. I'm with you. We listen to the Encanto soundtrack on a daily in this house. But Fit Radio is a really fun app where it's basically just like, it just is like having a DJ where you give it a genre. You can't pick your songs, but you give it a genre like top 40 or like millennial pop or like whatever. And it just is like, it's like having a DJ who samples like the best parts of all the songs, and they turn it into like big, like 2 hour playlists where it's just like one song into another. They have every genre. They have country and they have rock and they have rap and they have like trap. It's really, it's good. It's like another subscription service, but I think I like it more than Spotify right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Cause I also like, I like it when I run and you can put on playlists, and Spotify has this too, but I like it. It's more cohesive on Fit Radio. You can put on playlists that are like per the BPM.
Okay.
Yeah. So if like a hunt, like, I don't know, this might not be right, but I think like 160 BPM is like ish a 10 minute mile and you got to run to the beat. So you can find like your, yeah. I danced growing up, so I'll do anything like to the beat.
How do you run again? Show me how you
do it. I wonder if they
like this. That was your run to the beat. Everybody listening doesn't get to see us doing this, but if you're watching on video, it's very entertaining. This is great.
Don't they ban like if you're doing a running race, like stuff like that? Because it's like a pace counter, a pace bunny or something in your head.
Some races do.
But yeah. I am never running at a pace where anyone has to worry. I'm running like 11 minute miles with my pacing BPM music. No one's worried about me in those races.
I was in the gym the other day and the coach put on some music and it was like one of those scream bands, you know what I'm talking about, like thrash metal. It's like, and I was like, I'm always sarcastic, so I know it's shocking, but I'm like, oh, I want to have this played at my wedding someday. And he's like, oh, this is he's like this is Annika Grier's playlist. And I'm like, are you shitting me? And he's like, no, seriously. And I'm like, you know, I'm gonna message her and ask. And he's like, go ahead. And so I shoot her a message. I'm like, hey, is this really your playlist? She's like, oh my God, I love that song. I'm like, Annika Grier, like, seriously? She's into all this like crazy, heavy, like the heaviest rock music you can imagine. It was really cool.
I could see that though.
Of course.
It caught me off guard. I'm not going to lie. I didn't see it coming. But now that I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now that I know.
It looks like crack. John, you're actually a musician though. You've got guitars and stuff in the background. You actually look like you have music in your blood.
I have more guitars than I have CrossFit shoes. It's ridiculous. It's a very expensive hobby. It would only be more expensive if I own Nobles. That's why this is a little cheaper, but otherwise it's not bad.
You just see it. If Nobles built guitar, John would be poor.
Yeah, exactly. My dad got me into it when I was 12. You know, my dad was an athlete in college and wanted me to be an athlete. And he quickly figured out there was no chance in hell that was going to happen. So it's like, well, let's get him a guitar. Maybe women will like him. And that didn't work either. But I got pretty good at guitar. And the rest is history. And so now I own a bunch of guitars. So it's great. Works for me. It's all good stuff. Well, Emily, I'm glad you're healed and feeling better.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, it blew up my picks. I had you in my top five.
Same, girl.
Absolutely in my top five.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the frustrating part. Especially when the events, I kept like, I couldn't even go into the Coliseum. I think for the last event we did, but. Until then, I was like, I can't even watch, like, knowing that you should be out there and knowing that, like, especially an event that you're going to be good at. And you're like, oh, man, but it's life.
Well, this year I thought was particularly stacked on both sides. Men and women was probably the best field I think we've seen in years of competitive athletes. And, you know, Nikki and I did a show prior to it. I think we both said we thought, you know, you had as good a chance as anyone to be standing on the podium that week. And, you know, it's obviously disappointing to not get to see you do that, but we're really, really grateful you came out of it healthy and better and healed.
Yeah.
And, you know, next year we'll put you back on there. No doubt.
You did what you needed to do in order to be able to come back next year. And that's what's important, right? No limb alert. Cause if you hadn't done that, then who knows where that hand would be, in a gutter somewhere. Not to be dramatic, as Dr. Rocket said.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's
yeah. For sure. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you guys taking some time, and appreciate Kyle jumping in all sweaty at the end. Yeah. Thanks, Kyle. Good to.
Thank you.
It's always fun to talk to you guys.
Oh, super fun. All right. Well, we'll definitely do it again soon. Nikki, great seeing you for like the 100th time in the last 2 weeks. You're probably sick of me by now.
I love it. No, never, never. Thank you for holding down the fort yesterday. I'm going to go do baby bedtime right now.
It was fun. I hate to say it, but it was our best show ever. Just
of course it was.
Oh, no.
I'm kicked off the show. I'm banned.
It was not the same. Forever. It was not the same without you. It never is. So. No. Thank you. All right. Well, great seeing everyone. For everyone listening, appreciate you guys joining the show tonight, and we will see you guys next week.